Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On Talk Sport.
You're listening to Fight Night here on Talk Sport with me, Gareth A. Davies. It's a terrific show for you this week. Spencer Oliver joins me, and we had a range of guests. First of all, we spoke to Anthony Fowler, who fights Liam Smith, a big Merseyside derby on October the 9th. Here's what Anthony had to tell us.
And now, entering the arena, Anthony the Machine Fowler!
It's absolute target practice for Anthony Fowler, and in the eighth round, it is all over.
Oh, what a big shot from Fowler. What a follow-up from the Liverpool fighter. And he's left. Forte slumped on the canvas.
He's done. Well, that is stunning. Wow. Now, if anybody had their doubts about Anthony Fowler and his potential for excitement, that was spectacular and it was explosive. What he's looking
for, freed from desire. It's massive, mate. The whole city's buzzing, mate. I can't go nowhere now. I'm getting started by the fight. So, exciting times, mate.
Are we going to have... You're not short of a few words in the build-up to a fight, normally. And I've upset Beefy Smith myself in the past, actually. And he doesn't mind having a pop back at you. Do you think we might get some fireworks in the build-up?
You know what? I think I've matured a bit now. I think I've just turned 30. I've got a young son now. I just think, you know what? I'll do my talk on the ring. The fight doesn't need to be sold, mate, and there's no bad blood on my behalf. Just a better man will win the night. It's just a sport at the end of the day.
Yeah, we spoke to Liam Smith actually earlier on in the week on TalkSport, and he was like you, Anthony. He was going into the fight supremely confident. He says that you've not competed at that level and he thinks it's going to be too much for you stepping up. He mentioned actually, he said, listen, he's 30 years of age. I don't think he's improving anymore. How do you see that?
I disagree, mate. I think I've shown clear improvement in the last four fights. I think I'm getting better every fight. I think I'm coming to my prime now. I haven't shown my best performances, and I think this night I will do. This will be my best.
Do you feel that this is the right time for Liam Smith? You know, he lost that last fight in Russia, although some people felt it was a very debatable decision, if I'm totally honest. People felt that he did win that fight, but he lost that fight. Do you think he'd be coming into this thinking this is the last chance saloon, he has to win this fight, and obviously you're the younger, fresher of the two, so do you feel that there'll be pressure on his shoulders? Do you think he'll think there's pressure on his shoulders going into this?
Yeah, I'm sure he will, mate. Like, every fight, there's pressure for every fight. Every fight you can lose, it could be your last fight, so you can't take any fight lightly. Like, even my last fight, the lad was a late replacement, but I still thought, I can't take my foot off the gas. Yeah, in boxing, one shot can change a fight. So, you've got to have pressure for all fights, mate. Every fight could be your last fight if it goes wrong. So, every fight, I go in the ring with the same mindset. Like, got to win at all costs.
And what about yourself, though, Anthony, going into this one? Do you feel there's pressure on your shoulders thinking that you've got to perform here, you need to win this, you know, like, you know, you are 30 years of age and these are the sort of fights you need if you're going to go on to that next level, sort of fights you need to come through. So do you feel any pressure on your shoulders at all?
Yeah, I do, but like I said, I feel pressure from all my fights. Like, you can't afford any slip-ups, and, like, I'm going to bring to win, mate. I'm not going to take part, I'm going to win.
Do you feel that...
This is the fight, Anthony, that you can get up for most of all in your career so far. I know you've had some, you know, kind of friends to enmity fights, but this guy's got a real name. It's a real chance to project yourself. Does that light a fire under you in preparation for this?
Yeah, I think it's the first fight that I've been the underdog in my whole career. I've always been like the heavy favourite. So this time I'm not the favourite, which is it's a nice change. It's a nice feeling to be the underdog. It's different for me.
You're a very rugged fighter. You can box and fight. You're a box fighter. You've got IQ in the ring. He likes a tear-up, doesn't he? He's a very rugged type of fighter, doesn't take a backward step. Are you going to have to be kind of carefully grooming a chess match out of this fight, but a chess match where you come in and out? That's how I see you winning this fight.
Yeah, I do think it's going to take off the fight. I think it's going to be a real hard, brutal fight. I think the style's going to gel lovely for the fans. It's going to be a very fan-friendly fight, in my opinion.
You were saying about gelling lovely for the fans. Now, the fight is taking place in both your hometowns of Liverpool. I mean, the atmosphere up there, Anthony, is going to be absolutely electric, isn't it? Now, you're going to have to keep your composure in those sort of circumstances because, as we know, you know, when you do that ring walk and the spotlights come on, you know, that crowd is going to go absolutely bananas.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really excited to think about it now, mate. Like, this is what I live for, mate. I've waited my whole life to get to this point, and I'm finally where I want to be now, so I'm going to. You know, it's going to be a hard, brutal fight. I'm going to enjoy the whole occasion. I love fighting. It's something wrong with me, but I genuinely love a good hard scrap, mate. That's what I live for. So I'm going to enjoy it.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're a fighting man through and through. Let me ask you, because we haven't had a chance, about fatherhood, and obviously lockdown's been an unusual period. Tell me how fatherhood. I think I can hear offspring in the background.
No, I mean, see, mate's 40.
Oh, okay, all right. I always get that wrong.
That's his drunk mate.
your mate's 40th. Who's 40th are you celebrating tonight? Let's give him a shout out.
His name's Michael Barrett. He's a friend of mine. He also sponsors me as well. So
oh, that's good.
I couldn't have known his 40th.
And where are you tonight?
I'm just in his house. He's got like a little few people over. He's got like a little party in the garden.
Are you watching the Joshua Buatsi Bolotniks fight as well? Is that on somewhere there?
Well, it was on, but I had to leave the room because it was too loud in there. So hopefully Buatsi's winning still.
I think he's... Yeah, I know. He's boxing very well behind the jab at the moment, just to update you. So tell us about fatherhood and how that's changed for you during lockdown.
Yeah, I think it's put life into perspective for me. I think like... All my life, I've had nothing in my life apart from boxing. I've always travelled away. I've always been never at home, basically. I've always been travelling around stuff. Where for the first time now, I've got like a little family. I've got my girlfriend. I've got my son. It's a nice feeling for me, and I think it's like put it perspective for me that boxing is not the be all and end all. Like at the end of the day, one day when I do retire, to be another boxer, replacing my footsteps. But I need to have a family life after boxing. But it just gave me a different perspective, and I think it's made me a lot more calmer.
You've got less intensity about you. Mm. Like you say, that the intensity levels have dropped, haven't they?
Yeah, they are. But I think it's helped me, though. I think in the past, I've been a bit too gung-ho, a bit too aggressive. Mm. I've been, there's an old saying, trying too hard to win, and I've always tried to too hard. I still train as hard. I still perform really well. Like I thought the weekend, I think I went to the box like 2 weeks ago, it was, I boxed a lot more control than what I have done. Like I wasn't even at a first, second game most of the fight. Mm. The next day I woke up and I've even had no aches and pains. I was just fresh because like I didn't really exert myself. I just boxed in my own comfort zone and I boxed nice and controlled and never had a mark on my face. So I was happy with me. I thought, you know what? I just thought I had a kid the week before. I had no sleep for 3 days and then I managed to box a decent level fighter and beat him in first gear. So I was half happy when I reflected on it.
Yeah, I thought that was a great performance. You showed a lot of maturity, actually, in that performance, Anthony. Took your time and just sort of systematically broke a decent, tough opponent down. Having that baby, has that given you extra motivation? You know, I know, as a young fighter myself and having a young child, it sort of changed my mindset a little bit and changed me and settled me and made me probably a better fighter than, you know, I was even already. Has that done the same to you at all? You know, tell us a little bit about that. Like, how does it change you as a person?
I don't know. People keep saying this to me, but like, I don't really think, am I saying to Matthews, but I can't be more motivated than I am. Like, I literally, everything I do from morning till night, which I have done for like, for years now, is all around boxing. My life's always revolves around sport. I've never ever like cheated. Never ever cheat day. I've never slapped a session. I always put it 100%. All my coaches will all like back me up on that. So I don't really think I can train much harder. If anything, I always get told to train less. Like all my coaches are saying to me, "Oh, you're doing too much. Do a little bit less." So I don't think in that sense. But I obviously want to leave my son a great life. But it ain't all about money. Like I'm not mad on like, oh, I give him all the best things. Like my son's gonna have love of me and his mum, and he's gonna have a great life. He's gonna grow up properly. That's the most important thing, rather than buying money, buying him all gifts and stuff. It's about showing him love and affection and maturing, like a mature life.
Well, the TalkSport, the TalkSport ring walk tonight to the studio. As he's the former world champion, we asked you to walk to the studio first, in metaphorical terms. but we are about to have Liam Smith on next, Anthony. Have you got a message for him?
No, like I said to you, mate, there's no bad blood, mate. It's just a sport. The best man will win the night, mate. That's all it is.
I love the calmness that is in you. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on tonight. Enjoy the 40th. Don't stay out after 3 a.m., remember. That's the witching hour. You must be home by 3 a.m. Well, fantastically enough, we got his opponent, Liam Smith, straight away afterwards on the show. And here's what Liam, a world title challenger, of course, and a former world champion, had to tell us.
It was ruthless from Liam Smith. It was brutal.
They have seen enough, and Smith, Liam Smith, a fantastic all-around performance.
He's winded, and he's looking bewilderedly back towards his corner, and he's taken a knee. He's been counted out in the second round.
I'm not overlooking Anthony Fowler in no way, shape or form. I'm bang up for this fight. This fight in my city, top of the bill, against another scouser. I'm bang up for this.
From the outside looking in, you could maybe say, why am I taking it? Also, I'm getting asked the same question, why has he took it? For the people who are fancying me very big in this fight, they're saying, why has he took this fight? But, you know, when you look at it from a different point of view, it probably does make a little bit of sense. So, but what you're saying there, Alex, about the Gareth...
Yeah, it's all right. Just call me Alex from now on. It's all right.
He's been called worse, Liam. Don't worry. He's been called
Liam,
a lot worse.
By Liam as well, believe it or not. So.
But, you know, I just think when you strip the fight back, I'm fighting a 30-year-old man. There's probably 2.5 years difference in this fight. I'm fighting a 30-year-old man who's had 16 fights. Never really set the world alight. People are looking at it like... I'm fighting a young 25-year-old prospect who's absolutely, you know, set the world alight, and I'm a 33-year-old former world champion on the way out. That is not the case, and I think October 9th I'll prove that.
But there's a weird nuance about great matchups that, you know, we in the fight industry when two names are put together, sometimes you go, oh, yeah. And when your two names were mentioned and it was made official, I'm sure Spencer did, I went, oh, yeah, works. It's going to be a sellout. There's going to be a great atmosphere. And I think it's going to be a really good fight. I do favour you strongly, but I think it's going to be a great fight.
Do you know what I like about this fight is the fact that, you know, it's the local derby and we've got the kid that's coming through and we know where Liam's at. He's a world-class fighter. And Liam... It's all about, really, is Anthony Fowler good enough to step up, I suppose? That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. And people are maybe looking at it as if I'm overlooking him, dismissing him. No, I'm not at all. He, you know, with it being also a Liverpool derby, I know it's going to be very, very competitive. He's going to be bang up for it because it is me. He's got to bring something, you know, he's never brought before. Anthony Fowler in 16 fights before and... can't win this fight. So I think he's got to bring something new and something better than he's brought in his previous fights to win this fight. But, you know, obviously the bragging rights, take everything into consideration.
So huge, isn't it? The bragging rights. Yeah, it's so huge. The Mersey bragging rights. It's the biggest thing about the fight. The belt is for the Battle of Mersey, isn't it, basically?
Do you know what I wanted to ask you, Liam, was this question. Is there a danger... And I didn't ask Anthony this, actually. Is there a danger of any of you two losing your composure? Because the atmosphere up there, we know that you guys are the most passionate guys in the country, boxing. Liverpool loves boxing. Is there a danger that you two could lose, you know, any of you two could lose your composure going in?
Now, I understand the question and it's a big possibility, but I think you know me and my three brothers a long time now. Mm-hmm. How close we are. We've been in these battles before. We've been in big battles. We've been in Merseyside derbies. We had Paul Quigley, Paul Dodgson, Callum Fielden, and kept our composure on everyone, come out winners on everyone. And I'll just revert back to myself. I've been in big fights before. You know, obviously, you know, I'm not kidding anyone. I lost a fight, but I didn't lose my composure in Texas with 50,000 Mexicans. I'm not going to lose composure here against Anthony Farley in front of 9,000 Scousers.
In your 10th fight at the Echo Arena, isn't it?
No, I think this is my 11th.
Gareth. It's your 11th? Okay, I can't count. Fair enough. He's always correcting me, Liam, is. And he calls me Alex now, so.
A lot of things you know, even just the stuff I put out the other day, just about the Echo Arena.
Yeah.
This is my 11th fight there. Yeah. I'm 10-0 there. I've never lost to a Brit. You know, I haven't lost on UK soil. And I just think, you know, even when I revert back to Anthony, he lost to a Brit and he lost in the Echo Arena.
So it's your, what you're saying is it's your home stadium, not his.
And I'll show it to my city as well. Yeah.
Wow. I like that.
Well,
I like that a lot.
That's very good. This is going to be a cracker.
Well, we don't talk about these sort of fights. Like you said, when certain fights are made, you get these fights and names come up and you think, well, yeah, it's a good fight that. I look forward to that. But when this fight was made and I heard this fight in the announcement and I went Anthony Fowler, Liam Smith, Liverpool, I was like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
It was one of those wow
saying.
Moments.
For some reason, the nuance of it works. And it's obviously a massive night for boxing because later on in Vegas, it's going to be Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder 3. So it's going to build towards a massive weekend. Liam Smith is built for this, isn't he, Liam?
Yeah, obviously, definitely. You know, I want big nights again, and I think this has just puts me right back in. You know, this is a huge night for me in Liverpool, but then this puts me back in the picture, in where I wanted to go.
Do you feel, Liam, that this is a must-win situation? You know, your career has been a long career. You've had a successful career, but do you feel now that a loss here could possibly end your career?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, if I think I'm losing to Anthony Fowler, then I'm not going to where I want to go. And it's a long, 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 long road back, if there is any road back. But that was all took into consideration. And, you know, whether it was Anthony Fowler or whether it was a foreigner from Argentina, you know, if I was to lose again, especially after, you know, losing my last fight, then it's a very, you know, uphill battle. So, yeah, what you're saying is true. It's a long conversation with myself if I ever lost Anthony Fowler.
One of the fun stories I did in years ago really is talking to your mother Margaret and getting a picture and in the Telegraph of the four of you. And for those who box, for those listening who have been under a rock for the last decade and a half, or in your cars tonight, or you're cooking and you're listening to Fight Night you don't normally, Liam is one of four boxing brothers, and their mother Margaret absolutely cannot deal with her nerves whenever any of the guys fight. And between you, I think, isn't it something like 150 pro fights between you all or something like that?
Yeah,
so she hides away, doesn't she? And Stephen's retired now, I understand?
Yes, yes.
Paul, the oldest of you, has retired.
Yep.
You're still going and Callum's still going. I assume Callum is going to fight on.
Yeah, he is, yes.
So how is Margaret dealing with half of you boxing and half not
she's
now?
She's getting a little bit better, you know. I think we only have to look at Stephen's done a retirement post last week, and you know, when he announced his retirement on the social media, my mum's comment was, two down, two to go.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said, you can pull interviews, radios, or, you know, anything, and her happiest day will be the day the four of us have retired. That'll be her best day. Don't get me wrong, she's proud of the life we live, the manners it taught us, the discipline it taught us, but her happiest day will be when the four of us have finished with boxing.
Part of that is the memory of having to wash, because obviously your dad, I think your dad was a fitness guy, a bodybuilder, he's a huge athlete. I think it was washing five sets of kit twice a day wasn't any fun for Margaret, you know.
Of course, but like you say, but also, Gareth, she picks, she's seen the lows over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point.
You know, she's seen us, you know, even to the amateurs, locking in bedrooms, trying to... Yeah. For 2 days, too embarrassed to come out the room and, you know, stuff like that. She's seen hospitals after pro fights, you know, lying on beds getting stitched up. You know, a lot of public don't really see the nitty gritty bits what a parent or a coach would see. You know, the public go and watch and go out and have a pint afterwards.
The beauty and humanity of your mother was encapsulated for me when I interviewed her, and she told me it was when Paul Smith, your oldest brother, knocked out a Canadian boxer in the Commonwealth Games, and she walked out of the arena and she was sick in the toilet because she knew that Canadian boxer's mother was having fits somewhere, and it was for his opponent, not for her own, for Paul's opponent, not her own son. And that moment showed what a beautiful person your mother is for me.
Yeah, she just thought like that. The poor kid's mum's sitting in Canada waiting for the phone call while his son is lying kind of unconscious in a ring and we're meant to be celebrating. She just said, no, that's not for me. And I think, you know, a lot of mothers would think the same.
Cannot wait for that battle of Merseyside when that happens on October the 9th. The same night, of course, that Tyson Fury is set to defend his WBC heavyweight title in Las Vegas against Deontay Wilder, their trilogy fight. Well, next up, we had two Olympic gold medalists joining us on the show. I caught up with the flyweight gold medalist from Tokyo 2020, or should I say 2021. Here's Gal.
I've just been crazy. Obviously, I got back and I've had loads of family waiting for me and friends. Yeah, it's just been crazy, really. Being current Olympic champion, I've done loads of interviews, been able to, you know, see a lot of people. I've been mobbed a bit, went to the Blues game today.
Nice.
Yeah, just a lot of people watched my fight that I didn't really expect. Do you know what I mean? It's been nice.
What was the reception like when you come home? Because I've got to say, before you went out there, like, sort of, you know, I wouldn't say you was the favourite to win a gold medal, if I'm totally honest. It was one of those ones that you just seemed to improve as the competition was going on. And that performance you done in the final, mate, was really punch perfect. It all started from that lovely left-hand through the middle in that first round, dropped your opponent, and you just never let him off the hook. You showed a lot of ability in there, and it was a great performance. What was that reception like when you got off the plane?
Yeah, it was great. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I was a bit, like, worried about the whole, you know, everyone being there and making a big fuss and, you know, of attention and things like that, because I'm not going to lie, I don't really like it all. But I couldn't say to everyone, come on, go home. I just want to quietly go home. It was nice, and it was a bit, not embarrassing, but I don't like the attention, man.
I loved it when your mates and the mob all picked you up and you had your rucksack on your back still. And I could see it on your face in the clips where you're going, where's my medal? Is my rucksack going to fall off here? Am I going to land on my back? Am I going to kind of be carried but then dropped? And the great thing about you, and you and I have spoken to this both off air and on air in the last week, is you thought you were going to be really emotional, but you had ice in your veins when it came down to it. And I know it was surreal, but talk us through that you'd envisage being very emotional, but in fact you weren't when it came to the moment of winning and the medal ceremony.
Yeah, literally, like, I always thought, if I'm ever Olympic champion, it's going to be a great moment. I always envisioned it. I always thought, okay, if you win Olympic gold, when they call your name and that, I'm going to be going crazy and
sobbing
crying
through the anthem and, yeah.
Yeah, literally, I've always envisioned that, and I've seen, you know, top fighters in history that have done the same, and I thought, it's going to be me that would. But literally, I won it, and I was like, oh my God, like, I'm Olympic champion. Like, all my family and my friends are watching this, and, you know, they can see that I'm Olympic champion. It was just kind of a surreal moment, and going on the podium, I thought, oh my God, I'm still, like, you could see me saying, wow. Like, if you could lip read me, and, yeah, it was just a crazy moment.
Do you know what? You don't have a typical amateur style, do you? You've got those hands up high. You're a big puncher. You like to stalk your opponents down. It's not the typical
aggressive counterpuncher.
Aggressive, yeah. It's not the style that suits the amateur game. Do you get that from your brothers? Gamal Yafai was European champion and Cal Yafai was world champion.
Yeah.
Have you done a lot of sparring with those guys? And has that pro style sort of rubbed off? Because that's what we saw there. It was like watching a young pro in an amateur ring.
Yeah, a bit, yeah. I've always watched Cal and Gamal for the years coming up, and they're pretty known to be, quite compact and, aggressive and things like that. But I try and add my own style to it as well, and I've always got to make sure that I'm fit. I think I've got to be fit, I've got to be strong. I like to, not excite people, but it's better when you watch someone having a good fight and winning than, just moving around and, just nicking it kind of thing. I want to, excite the fans, and we don't really have fans as amateurs, but as a pro now, obviously in the future, hopefully, I can, bring a few more people to watch.
Do you know, I've got this vision of two of the three of you fighting and the other one filming it on their phone. Then you switch over and the other two of you fight and they're filming. Have you got a lot of that footage or not?
Nah, Gareth.
Oh, why not?
Nah, we've literally been in the garden or in our living room, me, Cal and Gamal fighting. Cal be bullying me and Gamal because he's the oldest, and I think that just kind of helped toughen me up.
Did you? Did it come to the point where you eventually gave him a good slamming when your mum Kay wasn't there?
Nah, you know what? I'd be getting beat up all the time, but I know now if me and Cal sparred now, so it could be a bit closer, I think.
Do you know what? I can relate to what you're saying there because I've got an older brother as well, and I used to have those same problems. My dad used to get in on a Sunday night, call me and my brother down from in bed and say to us, like, you go, boys, come on, let's get it on. I used to think,
get the gloves on.
No, he was going to get that. It was a front room job.
It was
my dad coming after the pub and calling us down.
Move the sofas around.
But I knew I was going to get a kick in every time, Gareth, and I think that. Actually, that worked in my favour because it toughened me up and developed me into the fighter that I was. But, I can appreciate that, you being the younger of your brothers, I can appreciate the kickings you must have got when you was younger.
Literally, but it's put me in good stead now, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Mate. They've done the same
you
for
to
me.
Olympic gold. I want to ask about your mum because there's a fantastic story that, obviously, you're the youngest of the three brothers. You're 28 now, and your mum... Kadega, Kadega?
Kay for short.
Kay, your mum, brought you up. You're all of Yemeni extraction, of course, of Yemeni descent. And there's another very famous boxer of Yemeni descent in the UK, Nazim Hamid. Did you... Yeah. I want to ask how mum felt about you winning gold. I know your brothers celebrated and were kind of made up that they almost felt like they won it with you. How did mum feel? And I understand you spoke to Nazim Hamid as well.
Yeah, obviously my mum was over the moon. She knew how much I wanted it, how much I love boxing, how much I want to be successful in boxing. And so being Olympic champion is the pinnacle and it's the biggest prize you can win in amateur boxing. So, yeah, she was over the moon and so happy. And about Naz, I spoke to him after the Olympic final. He gave me a call. It was nice to hear from someone who was like a hero to me. My brother was growing up, so yeah, it was nice.
What did Naz have to say? Was he full of praise for you? Did he give you any advice?
Yeah, he just said to me, so he's dead proud of me. Being Olympic champion is a huge honour, and he just said he was proud. He watched some of it, and he just said, hopefully I can have a great pro career. And he said, I can't see why you can't. And he's just proud that I'm an Olympic champion.
So what is the move now? You competed. The best thing you could ever do as an amateur by winning that Olympic gold medal. It's every fighter's dream. You've done that. You've conquered that. What do we do now? Are we talking about moving into the pro ranks now? Is that the next move?
Oh, definitely. I want to be a world champion, man. Like, even before the Olympics, I was dying to go pro. Like, I was devastated with the weight. And I thought, oh, gosh, I want to be pro, man. I don't really like amateur boxing. It's not for me, but... Because I got to Olympics, so I had to go. And I just happened to win gold as well. So it's put me in great stead to hopefully, if I can be a world champion, God willing.
Well, listen, mate, you've not got to do a lot of adjusting. We've seen a lot of amateurs that turn professional. Some great amateurs that turn professional. Olympic gold medalists that turn professional can't crack it as pros because they can't do that adjustment. They can't adjust their styles and, to turn into the pro style. But you're already there. It's like your style's already made for the pro ranks. So there's no adjustments.
Yeah, hopefully, God willing. I appreciate the kind words, man. I hope you're right.
I hope I could just have as good professional career that I have as an amateur career, and to make everyone proud, and yeah, just keep the family name going.
You inspired me when I interviewed you earlier in the week. There's a big piece in the Telegraph with you tomorrow, big page with you, Galal. You inspired me by telling me the other day when I spoke to you on the phone, when I was younger, I wanted to be great at something. Yeah. And I took up, as you was, in your words, you took up the job in the Jaguar Land Rover factory, in the parts factory, and you were really down in that period 6-7 years ago. Tell us about that time and how it transformed for you, because you really are on the way to being great now.
Yeah, you know what? I was grafting like 6 years ago, just before the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. I was there for 3 years. You know what? I literally hated it. I just thought, I want to be a boxer. I want to be like a superstar. Because Cal Gamara had all the limelight, and they were like, you know, Cal was coming up, he was just world champion. Gamal was, you know, on his way, and I thought, you know what, I need to be a limelight. They're stealing it all. And yeah, I just wanted to be a superstar in boxing, and I was so far away from all that. But obviously I went to the 2016 Olympic Games, it didn't work out for me then. I was pretty much a novice. And yeah, Rob McCracken and Great Britain performance director said, stay for the next Olympics and you'll be an Olympic medalist for sure. And yeah, I stuck with you, and yeah, thank God it's worked out for me.
Yeah, great advice from Rob McCracken, and I think that proved there in their performances in those Olympics. And I can guarantee one thing as well, mate, you won't be having to go back to any of those sort of jobs again, because I think you've got a bright future in this sport. I really do. Stylistically, you're going to shoot the pro ranks, and I believe that you could be one of our next world champions.
Oh, I hope so. I hope you're right, Spencer, man. I really do, man. I do my best, don't I?
Yeah, I just love your... What's going to be brilliant about you, and you and I have spoken about this off air, Galal, is the crowd-pleasing style you want to bring, you know? We had a chat earlier in the week about... I suggested Ben Davison would be a good trainer for you. Adia Dalipo said it might be Shane McGuigan. Who do you think would be a good trainer for Galal?
That's a good point. I'll tell you, I off the top of my head, I think Tony Sims would be a great trainer for him. I think Tony Sims is one of those guys that stylistically, Galal's style would suit Tony. Tony likes those sort of come forward fighters, hands tight, explosive, exciting. That's what Tony likes.
Galal, you have said that you want to be out as a pro before the end of the year, and have your first fight. Has anything changed in the last week? In terms of making any decisions whatsoever?
Do you mean as in going pro?
In terms of going pro and whether you've decided who you're going to train with or how the pieces are coming together.
One thing I know is I'm definitely going to be fighting for the end of the year. Hopefully, God willing, it goes to plan. Trainer-wise, I'm still, you know, just looking around and, you know, thinking who can suit me. But, yeah, like I said, Tony Sims, as Ben said, he's a great trainer. I think he's a great trainer as well. And he's a good person as well. I really like Tony Sims. He's a great trainer. So, yeah, I'll look at all of them and then see what happens.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, well, listen, we've got to say, mate, best of luck in whatever you choose to do, because I think that you've really got a bright future, and I think that you're going to go a long way in this pro game. And, yeah, whoever you choose to go with, I think that, yeah, you could be one of our future stars.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate the calm words, man. I really do.
I'll say this as well. I have really been impressed by your humility, and I'm really looking forward. I've seen what you've got in the ring, but I'm looking forward to the swag coming out.
I'm looking forward to it as well, man.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A brilliant gal, Yafai there, and we really wish him the best in his professional career. Brilliant that he's kicking it off this year. An amazing, amazing three brothers there from Birmingham who really have made the most of their amazing lives. Next up, I caught up with Lauren Price. The women's gold medalist in the middleweight division. She got home to Ystrad Mynach in Wales and was mobbed by the crowds. Here's what she had to tell us. Well, first of all, I've got to say, Lauren Price, congratulations on winning gold in Tokyo. Has it properly sunk in yet, like a week on?
Yeah, do you know what? It's starting to, especially obviously I come back to Wales yesterday and I had the most amazing welcome back home. There was about 300 people outside my house, so that was very touching, and yeah, it's just a dream come true.
You don't often show emotion, but there was a little bit there at the Olympics, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, it was. As soon as the decision, I got kind of emotional getting out the ring, but then as soon as I got onto the podium, left the podium, went straight for an interview. It got me. Obviously, they mentioned my granddad as well. And I just filled up straight away. But for me, it's been a dream for so long. And obviously, with the year, because of COVID, being pushed back a year, none of us really knew if it was going to happen. So I was just grateful for that opportunity, that it was going ahead. And basically, for me, it was just in the lockdown and I'm trying to get myself in the best shape I possibly can. Because obviously we had the qualifiers coming up and I just kind of just had to get on with it. And I think as a program for GB Boxing, they've done absolutely everything to get us in the best shape. And it just proved that we were the best team there, the fittest team there. And we went and we won 6 medals and they're saying the best team ever. So yeah, I'm just over the moon.
Did you pick the right sport for yourself out of all the sports you could have done and probably been very good at, Lauren?
Yeah, I think so. I've tried a few, but I think I'll stick to boxing. I'm not too bad at that.
You seem like a natural fighter. When one sees pictures of you with your granddad, with your late grandfather and your grandmother, they seem that, I'm sure they're very stoic and strong people, but they seem very gentle people, you know? And
yeah.
There's a fierceness about you that, are you aware of it?
No, like a lot of people, obviously I'm a very laid back person and I think that's why my nan's quite similar as well. We get on really well, we never argue. But yeah, obviously when I get into that ring, it's a completely different ballgame. But for me, a lot of people say obviously boxing being a sport, and for a lot of people who haven't kind of done it themselves, it's all about keeping that controlled aggression, and a lot of it is all to do with like obviously thinking and not getting worked up. And for me, when I get into the ring, it's all about tactics and I just kind of relax and enjoy myself. I never kind of try and work myself up or think, oh, I want to try and knock my opponent out. Do I want to work them? For me, it's all about how I'm going to win the bout and how can I do that? And it's all about down to obviously skill. And for me, one thing I've always taken with me back to my football days, really, it's all about having ice, fire in your belly, but obviously having the ice as well, just keeping keeping cool, calm, and collective.
Ice in your veins, yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that's always stuck with me, and I kind of just think of that when I go into the ring.
Are you going to turn pro?
I've had a lot of interest, and people speak to me, and obviously for me, Paris is only obviously 3 years away. I'm on great funding with GB.
You're progressing as a fighter?
Yeah, definitely. And for me, 3 years is obviously nothing. You look at the likes of Nicola Adams, Katie Taylor, Clarissa Shields, they've done two cycles, and now you look at Katie Taylor and she's smashing up in the pros. So for me, at the minute, my heart and my head obviously is set on staying with GB and stuff, but I'm not going to kind of... I'm just going to enjoy my time at the minute and see kind of more opportunities and, I suppose, as you can say, like offers and stuff like that appear, and kind of just think of it, just think about it really. I haven't really set anything in stone yet. But for me, I'm just kind of, I love what I do week in, week out. Yeah, so why not kind of do it all again and tick all them boxes again? For me, obviously, I've won everything I have that I can as an amateur, Commonwealth, European, World, and now Olympic. For me, I think obviously there's more I could kind of go and maybe win another Olympic gold and then go from there.
Do you want to be a professional eventually and be a professional world champion?
Do you know what? I'd love... Do you know what? Yeah, probably, because I'd love to say that I've done it, I've ticked every box. And then, who knows, I might go down the coaching route. I'd always want to be kind of... I love the sport boxing and I always kind of want to be involved in it. So, for me, boxing's my life. And the pro game just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So yeah.
So, are you saying you're not absolutely nailed down to want to be a professional world champion then? It's not written in the stars. This was the ambition. But so, you don't necessarily want to be a professional female boxer?
No, I wouldn't say I don't want to be. But for me, I think I had my mind and my heart set on these Olympics for so long. That's all I've ever thought about.
Oh, so being a professional would be a completely new start and a completely new chapter and almost like beginning again in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you haven't worked out the process of it yet. You need to process it and think about it, really.
Yeah, but for me, like a lot of the girls, Savannah Marshall and stuff like that, she's a really good friend of mine, and I've boxed her in the amateurs, and for me, I think obviously for myself and a lot of the other girls, Karis, Caroline, when we turn over as a GB boxer, we're a lot higher than starting out as a normal professional from the bottom. So I think in that way we're fast tracked as well. And for me, I'd say I would love to go pro. And if that is the main aim in it, when you turn pro, everyone wants to become a professional world champion. So for me, that would be the dream and the goal. But it's something that I kind of never really thought of, because I've only ever thought of my dream of being to go to an Olympic Games. But obviously, I've done that now. Even if I stay on for another 3 years, get another gold, and then go pro, that would be the icing on the cake to win a world title at professional.
Brilliant. Brilliant to have two gold medalists in a record-breaking GB Olympic team with 6 medals to show from the Games. Historic indeed. Well, finally, we caught up with Joshua Boatse, who won his fight on Saturday against the Lion of Latvia, Bolotniks, Rickards Bolotniks. A terrific fight in 11th round stoppage for Joshua Boatse, moves to 15-0. Joshua joined us on the show soon after his victorious performance. Joshua, congratulations on your victory. And a lot of people saying, and Spencer in the studio saying tonight, they fancy you to beat Dmitry Bivol right now. How do you feel about that?
opinions, and everyone's got one, but it's good, man. It's a great fight, great learning fight. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens from here, but you know, I'm thinking about my bed right now, to be fair, but we'll see how it happens, man.
It was a tough fight, wasn't it? You had to really bite down and you got on your gum shield at times, and you dominated at times. Talk us through the fight in your eyes, Joshua.
Yeah, like the earlier rounds, I was just boxing, boxing, boxing,
you can only box for so long. There's going to be a time where you need to stand and, you know, trade and whatnot. But it came. I put him down in the sixth round. I thought I could take him out, but credit to him. He was tough, man. He recovered quick. Then I was tired and I thought, yep, why was I trying to take him out? And the 11th came. It was not that I didn't plan it, but I just feel right hand that he went down. So, yeah,
I think you hit him with a nasty uppercut before that as well, actually.
Yeah, he did. But was you surprised, Joshua? Was you surprised at the toughness of Blotnick's? Because in the sixth round there, we was watching it live. We was live on air, and I got carried away. Like, as I sort of started commentating on the fight, as like you got up and you was piling on the pressure, and I thought there's no way that Blotnick's is going to get through this. Somehow he did. Yeah. But then he come back, and you had to ask questions of yourself there, because you're right. You put a lot of energy into that, and it took a couple of rounds before you got yourself back together. Was you surprised at the toughness of him?
Not that I was surprised, but obviously I haven't sparred him before. I haven't boxed him before, so I didn't know what to expect. But he bounced back and started to push me again in the second half of the fight. But like I say, man, in sparring, we've been there. We cover all these things. When I'm away, like, training is hard work. You know, I'm not just going to the States just to do normal work. We're pushing hard every day in that gym. So I know I'd been there before, but I just had to show it when the lights were shining. So I'm glad I was able to do it.
The headmaster was happy. Lord Virgil Hunter was happy. Afterwards, he gave you a big hug and he had some kind words for you.
Yeah, I haven't heard what he said, but as long as he's happy, then it means I did something right, so I can't complain.
Well, I think you showed the improvements that, you know, working under the watchful eye of a great legendary trainer like Virgil Hunter. I think that we saw slight improvements there. And I think the longer you're over there with him, Joshua, the more you're going to improve. And that's why I say, like, listen, if that fight with Bivol was made next, we're talking about probably 4 or 5 months. If that fight was, hypothetically speaking, if that fight was to be made by then, I think in that time and that extra time that you've got with Virgil, I think you'd be more than capable of, I personally think, knocking him out.
Yeah, okay.
That's, serious? I mean,
it's good to hear. And I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't do that, but just kind of focusing on what just happened now, Spence, is a bit hard to talk ahead and stuff like that. But I'm just grateful I got the win.
Yeah, Josh, for me, mate, I thought that was a career-best performance, because I think that Blotnick's was a guy that was going to ask you all the questions and you come through with them with all flying colours. You know, you had to dig deep, and I like that. I was watching it, and as the rounds were going on, I thought, hold on a minute, he's got to start digging deep here. After Blotnick's come back after that sixth round, I thought, now, because I've been in those situations, and I go, now I know that Joshua's going to have to be asking questions of himself, and he's going to be going to a place where he's not been before. And I think that you just dealt with it so calmly. You're such a cool customer, and I think that that's what takes you to the top, mate. I thought that was a career best performance.
No, I appreciate that, Spence. Thank you, man. Coming from you, you've been there, you've done that before, so it's good to hear that from you. And I had to walk the walk, so we've done that. But as we know, this is not the end, so there's more to achieve and more to do.
Can I ask you what you thought about the Olympic teams? You would have been watching it in camp. What you thought about the Olympic team's success? Could you spend a lot of time around a lot of these characters? Fraser Clark, Galal Yafai. Were you pleased for them?
Very happy for them, Gareth. Galal winning that gold. I felt like I had won a gold instead, man.
He's
my guy, man. And even Chev, the whole team, I know them. Like you said, I've travelled the world with them. I've roomed with them, different parts of the world and everything. So they're my guys and girls, man. I'm very proud of them, very happy for them.
You've obviously made your debut already in America. You fought at Madison Square Garden. When you look at the world scene, and we mentioned Artur Beterbiev, who's one of the super champions for me of the light heavyweight division, and Dmitry Bivol, I think you're number one or number two challenger. I want to know where the after party is, by the way, because I can hear it all going on in the background. Give us the location. Give us location. We will come.
The after party is in my bed, man. I've got to go to bed.
You're so exhausted, yeah?
Yeah. But look, like we said, man, leading up to this, it's a good fight. Good opponent, world ranked, like we said, didn't it? So it's good to get the rounds in. 11 rounds deep. I've shown people something, and there's more to it. Like, this ain't even the end, you know, there's more to it.
One of the opponents that I picked out for you when I was on another show earlier in the week was someone like a Badou Jack next, Who might be a great opponent.
Absolutely, I agree with that as well. I think he's ready now, personally. I think Dimitri Bivol would be a perfect opponent for him. After Bivol's performance against Craig Richards, that showed me that you're ready, Josh. You're ready to go, mate. I think you're ready to be let off the leash.
No, you know, again, thank you so much. You know, the team's got to, you know, kind of say, yo, this is the next move. This is what we're going to do next. And I always move with it. I always say that, man. Once we're in accordance, I move with it.
Just checking in, is church in the morning or not?
Probably not. I'll be asleep on that bar.
Gareth, give the guy a break, man. Yeah, he's just had a hard 11 round. He's allowed to light in. Come on.
Yeah, I still haven't been. Yeah. He is. But I still want to have a Sunday session at church where Joshua Boetsy puts me right, basically. Wicked. Yeah. But I get his benediction, basically.
No, we'll 100% go to it, Gareth. I owe you that, man. I told you that like a couple of years ago.
Fantastic stuff there from Joshua Boetsy, and also fantastic from Spencer Oliver the Omen joining me on the show on Saturday Night Now podcast. Enjoy the podcast. We love doing it for you. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Enjoy the punches, the stories, the narrative of this brilliant fight world. We'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.